Anton Marburg, a pulmonologist, physician in a private practice and pretty much an expert on the coronavirus, joining us in the studio this morning once again. Thank you for taking the time again to speak to us. I just want to know when it's time to panic. The Australians are buying out all the toilet paper. They've now limited, I'm not even joking, you're allowed to buy 4 rolls per person because people are stockpiling. All right, if I'm stockpiling anything, it's going to be gin and those Tony Glass sugar-free tonic waters. It's not going to be toilet paper. But Australians, okay, we don't know. Should we be panicking?
Well, thanks for having me. And firstly, I'm so glad to see the two of you aren't wearing masks at the moment. It's very moving. You know, I was very worried to walk in here and find everybody in masks and gloves and aprons. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, gosh, what am I missing?
Yeah, on radio, it doesn't, those masks are just...
So it's a very good question. You know, should we be panicking? And the answer is definitely we should not be panicking in South Africa at this point in time. We shouldn't be panicking anywhere in the world at this point in time, but we should be aware and we should be well educated of what's going on, okay? We have reached a stage of what we call pandemic, okay? Although the World Health Organization hasn't given that official title, we're at what we call stage 5 pandemic alert, and stage 6 is when they call it a pandemic. Okay. In 2009, we had pandemic for H1N1, which people seem to have forgotten. Okay, that's how
So we've actually been in a pandemic situation before.
Yeah. Is that what we know as the swine flu?
Well, it was called swine flu at that time.
You weren't listening to
interview a few months ago.
Yeah, we didn't interview Zanati. Jeez. You know, you and this Animal Farm swine flu, can we just leave that theme for now?
So we shouldn't panic.
Okay.
But we should be aware of what's going on and how to actually adapt to what's going on.
Okay, so let's be clear. It is a pandemic, but we've had pandemics
before. We've had pandemics before.
And, there's still no reason to panic.
I think the take home message when I start is to say, remember to wash your hands, okay? And washing hands doesn't mean just putting your hands under the tap and putting water over it. It means washing your hands with soap front and back for 20 seconds. They say that you should sing happy birthday twice.
Yes. Twice. You see, Zanati, I told our listeners once.
So twice is what's been told to people, okay? And to who? It's important.
To who is singing it?
Even if it's not your birthday, just sing it, okay? Right. The point of the matter is that this is a virus that's spread through droplets, not airborne. So it's not something like TB. So you're going to come here and we're sitting together. We're all a meter apart from each other. Essentially, okay? We're not at risk of spreading the virus to each other through droplet spread, okay? That's large droplets. But it's a virus that's picked up and spread through respiratory routes. In other words, through coughing and sneezing, goes into the lung airways, okay? Into the epithelial cells in the lungs. Now, if I'm sitting here and I'm coughing and you've got a mask on, let's say, you're not at risk. The problem is that if you're coughing and it goes onto your hands and then you touch your hands onto your face, you spread the virus. And that's why that's why it's so important to wash hands. And, you know, a friend of mine once wrote an article on shaking hands and we all dismissed it, you know, but the point of the matter is that when it does come here, because it is going to come here, there's no doubt in our mind that it's going to come to South Africa. Why it hasn't come here yet, no one can tell. And people are saying, no, it's because it's summer, but that's not true. I mean, there's more than 30 cases in Australia. That's still in the southern hemisphere, you know. So when it does come here, we have to have proper precautions in place, okay? And you shouldn't be running around hugging people and shaking people's hands and kissing people. You should be aware that, you know, you can spread the virus. But spreading the virus is not a panic station. You know, there's been reported about 93,000 cases in the world, okay? Of those 93,000 cases, over 50,000 cases have been treated or are actually sorted out, and there's no issues with them, okay? Of the 50,000 or 40,000 cases that are left from that, about 38,000 of them are mild cases, okay? So most of the cases that you're dealing with here are mild cases of people that are mildly symptomatic, and the symptoms are fever, cough, shortness of breath. So now we're going to be going into April, May, where flu virus is coming along, and people are going to be confused. Hold on, I'm coughing, I'm sneezing, I've got a sore throat.
It's going to cause panic, and
that's realistic panic, okay? Because people don't know how to differentiate. But let's get rid of the myths, first of all.
And what is our responsibility in that?
Well, I'll tell you now, but let's get rid of the myth. The myth is that everyone says, well, I've heard that there's a case at this hospital and at this hospital, and Lance and the Ampath have done tests on... It's impossible. Lancet and Ampath aren't doing tests on patients. The tests are being done through the National Institute of Communicable Diseases. These are the people who have been doing the testing and are doing all of the 160 cases that have been suspected. If there's a suspected case, medical personnel phone the NICD and discuss the case with them, and they decide whether or not the person should be tested. So don't believe all these myths and facts about people going to this hospital and this hospital. There is no coronavirus in South Africa at the moment. Okay.
Right. So there is nothing. And in fact, when testing is done, it is done through very, very specific channels.
Very because strict and stringent yes. channels, so that there is this sort of emphasis that there should be no panic and it's done properly.
Is there a way that doctors can even identify whether somebody is, you know, you have a patient that walks in and they're suffering from flu. Maybe they've been overseas, which is why they've got flu.
The important thing is, first of all, is it in your area? Okay. Has people been diagnosed with it before? If not, then you've got to use the whole protocol of saying, have they been in an area where it was diagnosed within the last 2 weeks? Are they symptomatic? Okay.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen in the Sky News report, but they've made the hospitals in London or in the UK a level 4. Okay.
Yes.
And what does that mean? Mm. It doesn't mean it's panic stations. What it means is they've made sure that their hospitals are able to admit patients with COVID, with the novel coronavirus. Okay.
Yeah.
So that if it does happen, that their 51 cases that they've reported go exponentially out of sort of sync with everything else going around, they will have the means to admit the patients to the hospitals. I mean, there was also talk about the Diamond Princess having two South Africans on it. Okay.
They're
crew members. The institution here is that when patients come here from overseas and have been sort of diagnosed with, they will be put in an isolation area. Mm. And people are saying in Orange Free State, in different places where they won't tell people about it because we don't want the spread of the virus to go around.
When it does come here, the treatment, will that happen at normal hospitals or are there designated hospitals that
so
are going
are
to be
there are designated hospitals that are handling it. But essentially, if it does go out of sync and it does spread, because this is what viruses do, they do spread, then the designated place won't be able to handle it, okay? And what will happen is then our hospitals and our private hospitals and our public hospital will be overloaded by it, okay? And what does that mean? That means, let's say we get into the March, the May, June cycle of all the flus. We are going to be overwhelmed by this in the sense that they're going to probably be cancelling elective theatre operation or surgeries because they don't have the beds available to treat people because there's so many sick people. But remember, these sick people aren't sick that they're dying like here and there and everywhere, but they're sick. They've got these influenzas, they've got these coronaviruses, and they need to be in hospital. They have got pneumonia, but the fatality rate is extremely low.
Well, let's just talk about that because I noticed that that in New York there is one guy, 50-year-old, who happens to be a Jewish lawyer, which is why they've shut down a number of Jewish day schools because his kids go to those schools. He's very ill. He's in ICU. Another person, another sufferer in New York, is actually at home in quarantine themselves, but with very, very mild symptoms.
So ethically, you can't force people to go into quarantine, but people should be responsible if
right.
they are exposed to
right.
the virus.
Right, no, but my point around that is there's clearly this big range that some people might get very, very ill.
And
apparently,
age is a cofactor, and comorbidity is a cofactor. Mm. And
he had some kind of an underlying respiratory problem, which is why he's
But we're also seeing that it's not really affecting young children. Okay?
Yes.
We don't know why. Mm. It's a novel virus. The point is novel being new. So we don't know how it's going to act and why it's doing what it's doing. And I think that's where the panic comes in, because people don't know. You know, everyone knows with influenza, whereas I said, like in America now, there's been 31 million cases. Everyone knows that in April, May, in the United States, it's going to peter off.
Right.
Whereas no one knows what's going to happen with coronavirus. I mean, epidemiologists are saying that 40 to 70% of the world population will be affected by coronavirus. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean that 40 to 70% of people are going to die. It means that 40% of the world probably will have an asymptomatic or a very mild affectation of coronavirus.
All right. I read somewhere, and again, I don't know if it's true or if it's untrue, that one person got it twice. Is that a possibility or is that...
I don't believe that.
You know, because you would have built up some...
Well, the point is if you've got it and you've treated it, then they're not going to retest you straight away for it again. You know, I mean...
Right. Okay.
So the people that have recovered, they don't have it anymore.
Well, they've recovered. They've been treated for it, yeah. It's like a common cold. It's like influenza. When you've had influenza, it doesn't sit in your system for the rest of your life.
Time is 7:21. I am chatting to Dr. Anton Marburg. He's a pulmonologist. And we're talking about coronavirus. We want to know if it is time to panic, if it is time indeed to buy toilet paper, because for whatever reason, that is a thing that people are stocking up on. Not Tastic Rice, not gin and tonics, but toilet papers. Joining us in a studio this morning, Dr. Anton Myberg. He is a pulmonologist, a specialist physician, and pretty much an expert on the coronavirus. He's been chatting to us a number of times, and we will continue being in contact with him around the development of the coronavirus, especially as it pertains to South Africa. Barbara wants to know, what about children? Because you mentioned that kids don't seem to be at risk. But what about children with low immune systems, like, for example, someone on chemotherapy?
It's a very good question, and I think that all these people with low immunity, especially children, should be very careful. They should be wearing their masks in general because of any virus or bacteria to protect themselves, and washing their hands and staying out of reach of people who are infected or have any other viruses or bacteria. So they've got to look after themselves.
So here's an interesting one. In terms of shaking hands, in terms of hugging and that sort of thing, I already noticed the past Saturday, the past Shabbat, that people at synagogue, people at shul, were already starting to, you could get the sense that people were thinking, should we be shaking hands? The fact that it's not here yet doesn't mean that somebody hasn't already been in contact with it, I would imagine. Isn't it sensible, therefore, to start maybe not shaking hands?
So, without causing more panic, it's not a bad idea.
Okay.
Okay. People should just be aware and be careful, you know.
Because
you go to a communal synagogue, okay, and people see each other and everyone hugs and shakes hands. You're spreading viruses. We're going into the influenza season now. This is the worst time to spread the viruses. People don't wash their hands straight away, that type of thing. People are coughing. People are spluttering. So, yeah, it's a good idea to start sort of
So there is a balance, and I think that's what you're saying. There's a balance between panic and being sensible.
Yeah.
And being sensible says, you know what, maybe don't shake hands now.
And it's not a bad thing. If someone comes up to you and puts their hands out and you don't want to shake their hand, it's understandable. You know,
we're
not going to hold it against you and say, wow, that person's rude, or wow, it's disgusting. It's important to know that you're trying to curtail viruses and you're trying to be responsible. But we don't want panic. There's no reason for panic. We know the virus is coming here.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean. Don't share your popcorn.
Right. Okay. Exactly. But it doesn't mean don't be careful.
It doesn't mean you must stockpile on toilet paper like the Australians for God knows what reason. Maybe they're so full of it that they need so much, toilet paper. Who knows?
Oh, and that's a medical opinion.
Did
you notice that? Yeah. That's a medical
opinion. Double blind randomized control study. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know why, and people do panic. If you remember 1994, before the elections, people panicked. They stockpiled on poo and on all other things, you know. And I mean, for what? You know, it's people's natural reaction to panic when they don't know what's going on.
Right. I'm going to need 2 more weeks to phase out the hugging because I'm...
You're a big hugger. I'm okay on the hugging thing. I definitely do a lot of handshaking, but I'm actually going to stop that.
The big worry is what's going to be cancelled, you know, because they're cancelling all these things in the future. So, you know, in America, they've already started cancelling some of the international medical conferences, okay, where there's more than 5,000 people at a conference.
We've had a number of events cancelled in Cape Town. There was a jazz festival, I believe, that's been cancelled, somebody told me. And then there's...
Not sure why in Cape Town.
Yeah, but a number of things have been. Louise wants to know, in fact, this was a question that you and I spoke about yesterday. A lot of people are asking the question, what about travelling overseas?
So there's one thing that's to stop you from travelling overseas, and that's your own anxiety.
Okay.
Because if you're going to be extremely anxious and you're going to have a panic attack and say, oh, my God, if I go overseas, I'm going to bring back the virus, don't go overseas. But be responsible. Don't go to Italy. Don't go to Iran. Don't go to China. But there's no reason why you can't go to London now. There's no reason why you can't go to Israel.
But proportionally,
when you're on the airplane coming home or when you're in the airport in those countries, wear a mask. And the mask doesn't protect you from everything. But it protects you, A, from spreading viruses. And if people are coughing, it does help you if you put it on correctly. If you don't put your hands on your face, if you put it on the sides, if you keep your hands clean, have hand sanitizers with 60% alcohol at least, you know.
You see, it's back to that alcohol. I told you.
Yeah, alcohol is very important.
If there is something to stockpile, it's alcohol. I don't know why people aren't getting this. We've got lots and lots of questions. We're going to go to news headlines. We're going to go to Louis Karpus with the sport. We're not going to talk about Liverpool. And then we'll come back. A lot of the questions that you guys are asking, how long is it viable? How long does it live on your hands? What about travel, etc.? So lots and and lots of questions. We are going to come back to you in just a short while. I'm in a studio chatting with Dr. Anton Meiberg. We are speaking about the coronavirus. Is it time to panic? Time is 7:36. I'm Howard Feldman in studio with Dr. Anton Meiberg. We're talking about the coronavirus. Lots and lots of questions. Thank you, everybody, for asking them. Hazel wants to know, can we fist pump instead or bump instead of handshake? Is that fine?
I'd rather just avoid it.
Let's just do that. Rather just avoid it. Because surely any touching is just not necessary.
So
rather don't do anything. And science says, how long is it viable on your hands? Well, I mean, that's assuming no watching. Well, how long is it viable on the surface?
They can say from 48 hours to a week, okay? The point of the matter is that's why you need to wash your hands. That's why it's so important. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. Wash your hands. And if you forget, wash your hands.
You know, it's interesting. I walked into studio this morning. We go through 1, 2, 3 fingerprint scanners.
So you're going through the fingerprint scans and you're touching the door handles. Okay?
And you're touching door handles.
You should be having sanitizers there if the virus comes in.
So would you recommend that offices, companies introduce hand sanitizers at the entrance?
Yes.
So we have to
even for the flu virus.
Because that's the way that it spreads. All right. The couple of questions I wanted to get to. I want to talk about older people. I want to talk about older people and travel. But Roy asks the following questions. Hi, Doc. You said the mortality rates are low, but isn't the mortality rate more than 2%? This is similar rate to the Spanish flu. If 40% of the world were to get coronavirus, it would imply that more than 60 million people would die from the virus. So
that's an excellent question, Roy. The point of the matter is then the Spanish flu was in 1918. They'd just come out of a global war, and all the resources were diverted to military expenses and resources and things like that. So they weren't aware of how to treat these type of things.
Mm.
The mortality rate is definitely less than 2%. They say it's about 1.4 to 2%. Once again, that doesn't mean that everyone's going to die or that 2% of people are going to die in the future. When something's a novel virus, you're going to hear of all the bad things initially first. And as it peters down, you only hear about like them later on at a different stage. Okay. So it doesn't mean that 40% of the population are going to die, or 60 million people are going to die. We are much better at treating things now than we were in 1918. We have different types of quarantines. We have different types of treatments of pneumonia. We treat secondary bacterial infections. We can treat other things that, you know, the main cause of death in these people is pneumonia. But we can treat these things effectively in certain people. And that's why our fatality rate is going to be much lower than in 1918.
It must be confusing in South Africa, and we don't have a lot of time to talk about it, where so many people are suffering from TB and AIDS-related pneumonias. Are our numbers going to be blurred here, ultimately, in South Africa?
Well, I think they present very differently. Okay, and I think, and I was talking with a few of my colleagues, we don't understand why, but in the immune-compromised population in South Africa, when the flu virus comes, we don't see them being extremely more affected than normal people.
That's interesting.
So we're not expecting that people who have got comorbid immune deficiency diseases will be more affected than the normal person.
Because the one thing Zanati and I have been talking about, and it's a real worry for me, is I think about people living in shacks and they're living in informal settlements where you've got overcrowding, you've got no access to running water, you've got...
But they live like that all the time, so it's not new.
Okay. So our worry was, you know, if God forbid you have this type of thing entering into that environment, you'd imagine that we'd have a horrific situation. But you're saying for some reason it isn't.
Affected by coronavirus, they will have, but they'll most likely be more asymptomatic or mild.
Right.
Infections.
Well, hopefully that will be the case. Let's just talk about older people.
Yeah.
Let's talk about older people and travel, because that obviously we see the numbers start to go up from 50 to, you know, 60, 70, and 80.
My worry with older people is especially old people are going to different countries. You know, people are here on holiday, that type of thing. If they're going back to their home countries, go back to your home country.
Mm.
Okay. Because before we know it, you know, you go to a place, let's say like Israel. Okay. Mm. In Israel now cutting down people coming back from,
well, they've stopped
from,
people from
Iran and from Italy. Mm. So if there are 3 cases of coronavirus in South Africa, they're going to say, hold on, we don't want people from South Africa coming back to Israel.
Right.
So if you're going to go back, go back. you know, but right. I mean, there's no reason why older people can't travel. It's the same precautions, okay? Hand washing, hand sanitizers, masks in airports, that type of thing.
Do you think, you know, we're in a situation right now that it's almost a lull before the storm, and it will come here. We know that it's going to happen. We don't know how bad it is or isn't going to be. But the reality is that if we start to get used to it and prepare now, and as you say, we stop shaking hands now. We put hand sanitizers at, in offices and schools and, you know, we start to get used to this type of situation. When it does come, there actually shouldn't be a significant shift unless people around you have it.
You know, for the first time in history, South Africa is at an advantage. Mm. Every other country that have got it are teaching us how to handle it and what to expect. Mm. So when it does come here, we're going to be far more prepared than they were in Wuhan or in America or in the United
right.
Kingdom.
Right.
We're prepared.
Our NICD
are on top of it. You know, I went to a talk last week and these guys know exactly what to do. The National Department of Health, NICD, they've put protocols in place. Everyone is dealing with it. No one is flogging it off.
So I just want to just talk about that for 1 second. We don't have a lot of time left, but you and we've had this conversation off air, and I want to repeat it because I think it's very, very important. Many of us, myself included, are under the impression often and unfairly that if it's South Africa, well, it's just chaos and we're not organized and we don't have the systems. And but actually in all our private conversations, you have expressed tremendous confidence in the protocols, in the system that has been set up. And I want you just to put that over to our listeners.
In our protocols that have been set up by the National Department of Health, by the NICD, we are aware of what's going on. We are jacking up systems at all hospitals, all old age homes, globally, all over South Africa we're doing it, okay? People are aware, people know about it. There's plans in place for things that happen. There is going to be panic when the first case comes. Expect panic. People are going to say, oh my God, we never expect, we did expect this. We are expecting it to happen. It has to happen sooner than later, but we are prepared to attack it.
All right, and Louise wants to know, will it help to have the flu vaccine?
So the flu vaccine won't help with coronavirus, but the flu vaccine will definitely help with influenza. As I said, 31 million cases of influenza in America, 310,000 hospitalizations and over 18,000 deaths. It's worth your while to have the flu vaccine.
Absolutely right. Finally, Linda says, good morning, my auntie. My worry is that it could affect children. My grandson said that there hasn't been any stressing about hygiene or talks at the school, that he's at. We see adults walk outside of public bathrooms without washing their hands. Unsupervised children will probably do likewise. Are schools preparing? And again, this is a conversation that you and I had yesterday where we debated how much the schools should be preparing, because again, it's a balance between sensibility and panic.
But
and
it's just education and to understand that you should be washing your hands.
I think that's the takeaway. The takeaway is wash your hands and stop shaking hands. Wash your hands and just
be aware,
sensible.
Be educated. Mm. Don't panic. Listen to the things and forget about the myths. There are too many myths about this virus.
They are indeed. They are indeed. Dr. Anton Meyerberg, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. I have got no doubt that when it hits South Africa, you'll be back in studio, because tell us not to panic. And of course, that's the very first thing that we are going to do. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us.